familiar with Fat Albert. Fat Albert, yes. Okay. But Fat Albert, as he grew older, became very interested in motors, engines, and cars. And Fat Albert was that kid in the neighborhood who knew how to take anything apart. I mean, he could take a refrigerator apart, put it back together, and that kind of thing. And he loved that kind of work. Boom.
Fat Albert had a car.
In 1958, Fat Albert's father gave him the hull of a 41 Mercury. Albert loved it, man. It was the best present he ever had in his life. He never spent any money on soda pop, candy, or anything. Everything he had, every penny he had, he put in that car. I'm sure all of you have a guy in your neighborhood like that when you were growing up. Some guy was always in there, man. We swore that's where Fat Albert would die, bent over in that car. When Fat Albert was 19, Fat Albert had saved enough money to buy a new engine for the 41 Merc. And he went down to the graveyard, you know where they have these old cars. And he bought a Cessna airplane engine. Now, I want to tell you that we in the neighborhood, there wasn't a car that could top Fat Albert's car. Albert's car had a sound of its own. I'll never forget the day he started it up. He said, here it is. And we all got in it, man. And we're sitting there waiting. And he started it up. He also put 400 pounds of sandbags in the trunk of his car so the front would raise up. And that old car would be leaning on his side, too, man. He was the only man drove on two wheels. Just the two on his side were on the ground. So we had to ride on the outside, holding onto the window to keep the car on the ground. And we'd be riding around the block, six of us hanging on that door now. He could never make a right turn. Twice, I lost the seat of my pants. I love that car, man. We got more girls with that car because girls love the sound of... They love that. And especially ours. Man, that was the toughest car in the world. You pull up to a bus stop. And some girls say, I want to ride. Now, my father had a 52 Chevy. It was the uncoolest sounding car in the world. My father's car went... Now you compare You can't get no girl with no sound like that, man. Even if you pull up to a light and rev up, you say, hoodin, hoodin. And I tried to get Dad to do, you know, Dad, come on. He said, I'm not interested in getting no girls. So I used to put a hole in his muffler. And then it went, and Dad couldn't understand it. Oh, that's the fifth muffler I've had this month. I took my driver's test in Fat Albert's car. Oh, yeah. Sat up there, man. Was cool at 16 years old. So I'm sitting in the car, in Albert's car, you know, with the Cessna airplane engine. waiting for the state trooper. Pennsylvania state troopers are all 6'4". Big hat, sunglasses, leather legs.
My name is Woodard. I'm a state trooper. I'm sure you're familiar with the Pennsylvania Vehicle Driving Motor Responsive Regulator Set of Rules and Regulations. I was very excited.
Yes. I tried, man. It was so embarrassing. I tried to come out with a yes, and he just went, yes. All right, you will start the car up and follow my directions. This thing's got a clutch on it. I hate the clutch, man. So now, easy on the clutch and easy on the gas, and you come out slowly, let up off on the clutch and down on the gas and move out. Okay, let's go.
I think you flooded it.
How come? Well, there's gas shooting over your left shoulder. No, it always does that. And that trooper is sitting in the car. What is this, an airplane engine? Yeah. Well, how do you keep the engine cool? Well, you just have to keep moving. All right. Start it up. Pull up.
Now, I want to clutch in the thing. And I didn't do it right, man. I panicked. And the car went.
His hat, his glasses. Finally reached over and turned the key. Here, you pass, you pass. That Elvis got a heck of a car, Jack. Watch other guys get beatings, man. Fat Albert got it good one night. We were all watching too, Jake. We were sitting out on the step, you know. So I said, well, my father doesn't hit me anymore. And it's true. My father was not allowed to hit me anymore. Because the last time he hit me, what I did was my father went, pop, and I fell down and played dead. And my mother was there. And my mother said, you killed him, look at that. I didn't do that. You did. Look at him. He's not breathing and he's not looking. And my mother went, la, 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 la. And don't you ever touch him as long as you let him. My mother's like 4'11", weighs 30 pounds, and she's chewing him out, man. And I did everything to keep from laughing. And I was playing dead, and I wanted to laugh. And finally I went, and she said, oh, he's coming back to life. He's coming back to life. And my old man said, all right, I ain't gonna never touch him as long as he lives. So I told Fat Albert that, man. I was like,
hey, that's a good idea.
And Albert liked the idea so much, he went home and picked a fight with his father. I mean, Albert was bad, Jack. He walked right in the house.
Hey, where's my dad? First of all, Dad, you ain't no good, never been no good. Hey.
And Albert's father said, what? And Albert said, you heard me, are you deaf, you old dummy? And hit him, man, and we were watching.
Hey, I was trying to hit him, and Albert fell down dead, man. And his mother said, oh, you've killed Albert. And Albert's father looked and said, oh, yeah? Well, let me show you what to do with a dead man. Give me that boiling water. That's what you do. Was poor boiling, and Albert got up. And Albert's father said, see that? Look, a dead man walking around now. Come over here, Lazarus. Yeah.
I remember I was a hero in my neighborhood because I had a hernia. Now, isn't that beautiful? To have a hernia and be a hero. The ball went down the sewer. And you know how heavy a sewer cover is. This weighs about 400 pounds. I went over and I said, let me pick up the sewer cover because Fat Albert's got to go down in the sewer. So I reached down with my finger and picked that sewer cover up. And I was hauling it. And it was really heavy. And all of a sudden, right here, the thing went and it came out. And everybody was standing around and looked at it and said, hey, man, something jumped out of you. And I looked at it and it was just jumping out. I said, yeah. And Fat Albert said, hey, hey, you got something jumping out your skin, man. And so I put the thing down and it went back. Whoop. So they said, do that trick again. And Fat Albert said, hey, 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 do that trick again. And I picked it up and the thing said, ooh. The guys were all around me, man. Fat Albert said, hey, hey, hey. So there's Libby Cross doing his thing. So we're walking. Anybody that came up to him said, hey, hey, watch guys do your thing. I said, boom. And I went home and I said, hey, Mom, you want to see me do a trick? I pulled my shirt up and I said, ugh. And my mother went, mothers don't understand tricks or nothing like that. My mother called the doctor and I had to go to the doctor. And she said, he's got a hernia, I think. But the doctor said, well, let me take a look at it. So I was proud to show it to him. He said, let me see it. I said, okay. And the doctor passed out. I've never seen one like that in my life. I said, well, can I keep it? Because all the fellas love me because of that. I went to the hospital, and they operated on me. When you wake up in the hospital, as soon as you come from surgery, they always make you go to the bathroom. Get up, let's go to the bathroom. Because that's a sign of life. Okay, you have to go to the bathroom. I got up out the bed, and I didn't know that they sewed my leg to my stomach. I tried to stand up straight, and every time I did, my leg went up with me. I said, I can't walk like this. I'm going to the bathroom. And it's very difficult to go to the bathroom when you're in this position. So I went home. But that's where heroes come from, any kind of neighborhood you live in. There's anything you can do. And pretty soon, I had the whole neighborhood doing it. Everybody's just going around lifting up sewer lids. And when Fat Albert got one, he knocked down 5 buildings. This boy, Fat Albert got a hernia, so did them buildings. You know what's groovy about wives, man? They don't know how to chase. You know, did you ever hit your wife, you know, I mean, playfully, like smack her or something, and she'd come running after you? They can't chase, man. They can't do the zigzag, you know, and the bobble. All they know is how to run straight ahead, man. They are so cute, man. They don't know how to go boop dip boop dip. You know, they just come at you like Frankenstein. And I'd be running, and I'd just run and pass a chair and throw it down, you know, and she just... And when I chase her, she didn't know how to zigzag. You better not catch me. You better not catch me. No fair catching me. Yeah. I know I'm stronger than my wife. I know I can box better than my wife. I can bob and weave and jab and hook and cross and move around her. My voice is deeper. And when I speak, the house shakes. And I don't know how I lost my position. I used to be in charge, man. I remember back in 67, people would say, well, he's the boss of the family. Now people call up, is your wife in? Yeah, what do you want? I didn't ask for you. We got it nailed down, though. My kids are 7, 6, and 3. And when we go out to dinner, my wife and I will go to an exclusive restaurant, take the kids with us. And we sit down, we have steak or lobster or whatever it is, man, and we don't feed the kids. Hey, man, for $7.50, I'm not going to sit up there and watch no kid mutilate a $7.50 piece of meat. I'm not going to sit up here and watch him swill it around in the plate, throw it on the floor, you know, pick it up, and then say, how old are they? So my wife and I eat, and the children wait, you know, and we tell the waiter right away. As soon as we go in, before we get seated, we tell the waiter, don't give us any water. See, that's the first thing you have to do when you take your kids out to eat. No water. Because while they're waiting, there are fantastic things that they can do with water. And eventually, if there is water on the table, you'll hear one of their glasses go, clunk. And then we all, both of us, sit up and let it pass under us. See, I didn't get hip to that until my wife did it one night. I heard conk, you know, and all of a sudden she started to sit up. I said, where are you going? Oh. I felt that cold running under the right thigh, man. And after that, we both stand at attention. As soon as we hear conk, everybody up. I pledge allegiance to the water which is passing under us. But they all sit at the table, and you can see their little heads wiggling. Anybody that has kids, you know, they sit at the dinner table in some restaurant or something, you see the little heads waggling around, and you wonder what's causing it until you lift up the tablecloth, and you see their legs swinging back and forth. And one of them's always kicking the pole. Bong, 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 bong. And that's when my wife turns to me and says, tell them to be quiet. But see, we eat everything, right on down to dessert and everything. And then we get up, pay the bill, and then we put them in the car and we take them to McDonald's. I borrowed my father's car. And after about the 6th week, he came into the living room. And I knew from the look on his face I was in trouble. And I was sitting there watching TV, and he said, come here. Now, I knew that he wanted to talk to me about something I did wrong. And out of the 100 things I had done wrong so far, I couldn't figure out what it was he wanted to talk about. So I said, who, me? No, the table. You see me come in this living room and do like this, and you've seen the table get up and walk over here. You've seen wallpaper. unroll itself and come walking right over and say, "What was it you wanted, Mr. Cosby?" "Yes, I'm talking to you, egghead. Get outside, I want to talk to you." So I go outside, man, and I'm just shaking. I'm shaking because I know he's going to hit me sooner or later. You know? My father can time his hits, man, just to the point when I relax. Took me out to the car, and he pointed at it. So now, what is that? I knew the answer was car, but I didn't know what he wanted. So I said, "It's a car? Are you sure of it?" "Yeah." "Well, say it like you sure of it, Ted. Say, car. Car." "Good. Now, what is that?" "That's the engine." "That's two you got right. Now, how does the engine start up?" "Well, you turn the key and you step on the gas."
"On the what?"
"You step on the gas. You do know about gas?" "Now, what is this?" "It's a gas cap, Dad." "You know how to get it off?" "Yeah, Dad, you just unscrew it like that, see?"
"Yeah, now give me the gas cap.
Now, I'm taking your head, and I'm putting it inside the gas tank. Now take a deep breath and tell me what you smell."
"I don't smell nothing, Dad."
"Right, because there ain't no gas in the car."
"Now what I want to know is, last night you had the car, didn't you?"
"Yes, Dad."
"You're damn right you had it." "I didn't have it. Your mother didn't have it. The dog didn't have it. So you had it, didn't you?"
"Yeah, Dad."
"Well, don't start crying now, because I'm going to knock you out anyway." "Now, what I want to know is, because you must be some kind of genius, how did you get this car in this spot? Ain't no gas in the car. Ain't no fumes in it or nothing. How do you get this car to walk into this spot and ain't no fumes or nothing in it? I got in the car, turned the key, and the needle fell outside." "But Daddy, don't butt me. I'll knock you out. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out, Junior." "Now, the only thing that makes me mad, Junior, is this. You must think I'm the dumbest father on the face of this earth. Now, tell me the truth, don't you?"
"No, Dad."
"Don't lie to me, Junior. Tell me the truth. I'm your father. Say to me, Dad, you are the dumbest man I've ever seen in my life. Tell me the truth." "No, Dad." "And don't cry, because your mother ain't coming." "Now, tell me I'm dumb. To my face. Don't give me little examples. Don't pull a car up here with no gas in it. Now, some boys borrow their father's car, Junior, and leave just enough gas in it so that the father can start the car and run out of gas starting it up. Now, that's how dumb some boys think their fathers are. You think I'm so dumb that I'm gonna get in this car, close the door, and say, 'Oh my goodness, I ran out of gas,' closing the door. Now, here's 75 cents. You go down to the gas station, it's an 8-block walk, and walk all of it. And I hope your legs hurt. You get a 50-cent worth of gas, give the man 25-cent deposit on the can. You come back here, you put gas in the tank, then you put some in the carburetor, then you get in front of the car because I'm going to run over you. Russell came, I hated him. I didn't want to do anything bad to him, but I sure didn't like him. Because he had his way with everything. He didn't have to eat his greens. He didn't have to eat nothing. He'd just sit there and cry, I don't want it. Next thing, he was getting dessert. I tried the same thing. I don't want it. Be quiet. You're the man of the house. I'm not. I'm only eight. Yeah. I know one time I almost got him, though. Almost got rid of him. I was playing in the toilet bowl. I love the toilet bowl. You put something in it and flush it, and it would just take it, man. Whatever you put in the toilet bowl, say, I got it. And when you flush the toilet bowl, you get a good sound from it, too, man. And when it hasn't accepted what you put in it, it goes. And that's when you run out. I didn't do it. I was sitting there flushing things down the toilet, and old Russell came in. What you doing? I said, I'm flushing things down the toilet, dummy. And he said, where do things go when they go down the toilet? I said, they go all around the city. Would you like to see the city? He said, yeah. 4 minutes later, I had him standing up in the toilet bowl. No clothes on. Vaseline all over his body. Are you ready? My father came and said, what are you doing? I said, Russ wants to see the city, Dad. My father said, you get in there with him. And he had both of us in there trying to flush us down. It's hard to get a grab on the porcelain when you're floating around in a circle. My brother is much lighter in complexion than I. When he was a little baby, he was almost pink. And the kids in my neighborhood saw him, and they started laughing. I said, what's the matter? I said, man, you got a white brother. I said, he ain't white. I said, yes, he is. Look at him, man. So I took him home, put him in the oven. Any Italians here?
Right here.
Yeah? Right here. Okay. If I say to you, Fernet Branca, what is it? Yeah. You've had it? It's good, isn't it? It does the job. But oh, how it tastes. Oh, man. I'll tell you something. Do you know how it helped me? I was in Italy. I was in Florence. There's a friend of mine. His name is Henry Silva. He was a Puerto Rican actor. He speaks Spanish and just a little bit of Italian. But with the Spanish and the Italian together, he gets by. If you're in Italy, they love you when you speak Italian, man. So that helped, you know, because we didn't want to go to the tourist places. They give you the same food that you get here, almost. You know, we want to go eat with the people. So we found a lot of restaurants around there, but everybody spoke Italian, you see. So Henry would come in, Occhinello, il libino, il limone, il cannoli, you know, and the guys would say, hey, Occhinello, il libino. They all centered their attention around Henry. And they loved Henry, and they'd look at me, and I just couldn't speak nothing, you know. And I say, hey, they say, you sit down. And my wife would say, Henry, order me something wonderful. And Henry would get the menu, and you know, he'd say to the guy, I want to in the man, in the way. And my wife's, oh, Henry. And Henry's wife says, oh, yes, Henry. And I'm sitting there. And I'm a man, Jack. And nobody's saying nothing to me. Cats won't give me the menu or nothing, you know. And I'm feeling like I'm Henry's child, you know. Henry, could I have a hamburger? So I got mad, not with the Italians, not with Henry. I got mad because I was frustrated, man. Nobody's paying attention to me. I'm losing my maleness. Sitting here, I'm becoming a child. But by the time we hit the fourth restaurant on the fourth day, I'd had it. So We walked in the restaurant and the same thing. Hey, Hachule, holy baby, Hachule, hey, holy, hey. And they sit down with all that. And I said to the waiter, I said, give me a menu. So the guy said, this is sir, it's all written in Italian. I said, let me see the menu. Because I'm going to break this down. I'm going to order something for myself. Now, I figured that I could do it because I had 4 years of Latin one. I get the menu, and it's all Italian. Now, the dudes in my brain are saying, oh, man, that's the one. We don't know nothing about it. You know? So I notice the word is saying, looks like bird. So I said, well, I'm just going to take a shot at this, you know. Can't go wrong. Well, bird, you know. So the cat, the maitre d', I said, how is this? He said, oh, sir, this is the delicacy of the house. I said, bring it to me. I will be here when you bring it. And the cat was bringing the food, man, and then maitre d's throwing a salad, and we had the salad and everything. My wife, she said, what did you order? Now, I can't let my wife know that I don't know what I ordered. You know, so I said, you just wait and see. They brought the entree, which was my bird. I had ordered barbecued sparrow. They left the head and the feet on the sparrow. The sparrow was by itself in a white plate with the head hanging off the edge of the plate looking like this. Feet and toenails intact, with a beak and one eye closed and the other one open. Now there's no way that I'm going to say out loud, I didn't order this. Everybody at my table took one look at it and immediately became very self-centered in their own meal. Now, I am enough of a male egotist that I will sit here and eat my mistake. I don't care if I die. The problem is, how? I'm going to say this. I am proud to be an American. Because an American can eat anything on the face of this earth as long as he has two pieces of bread. I smeared mustard upon the two pieces of bread and put them two pieces of bread on top of that dude, and I started biting. When it reached my stomach, there's a valve that opens and allows the digested food to pass into the intestines. That valve saw. What was in the stomach and shut itself off. The valve that had allowed it to go down closed itself off also. And I had the delicacy of the house in my stomach, and it just laid there and made gas. But the gas had no place to go. Couldn't go down, wouldn't go up. It just laid there, and I got bigger and bigger. And for goodness sakes, I wanted to belch, man. I wanted to call for a healthy... I went into the bathroom, and I said to the man working in the bathroom, "Sir, have you anything for gas?" He said, "Yes, here's an Alka-Seltzer." I took 5 of them, swallowed them whole. The bird ate all 5 of them. Now, there is a slight leak in the upper valve, and it is allowing gas about the size of the tip of my finger to come up. So it doesn't relieve anything. I'm just giving off small burps, which go burp. These burps, when they hit the air, are the worst smelling burps you ever smell. People are going, "Oh, God, please. What? Are we near a sulfur factory or what? What is going on here?" And I'm just walking around spreading these burps all over people. My wife got hold of one burp, and she said, "You're dead. You passed away a long time ago, but somehow you're still upright." That's where Fahrenheit Branca came into play. I took the shot of Fahrenheit Branca, and the valve opened up. And the bird saw what was coming. And started running. And I started running. I owe it to Fahrenheit Branca. I just wanted to tell you about that.